I'm going to take a risk right now. I'm going to talk about social media out loud. Now, it's a risky move, because talking about social media outside of social media often makes it sound silly, petty, insignificant, a colossal waste of our collective time and resources, the killer of democracies and the destroyer of reason. And of course, it's not all of those things, at least not yet. Worse yet, I'm talking to an audience in rural Minnesota, you know, where not everybody uses social media. And talking about tweets and memes and likes might make these audience members think we're talking about some kind of strange venereal disease that young people catch when they spend too much time on their phones. Which brings me to my point. Social media is a venereal disease. Now think about it. Social media begins innocently enough. You start following people you know well, people you trust, then you start following people that you just met. Before you know it, you're friending people in the park, the back alley, on the bus, your cousin. Nothing matters anymore. Just the next friend, another notch in the otter box. Furthermore, once you catch social media, you can't get rid of it. Sure, you can treat and manage the disease. You can learn to live with it, but you'll always end up wishing you could go back in time and put a cover on that phone. It wasn't worth it. That's right, we've got an STD, socially transmitted digitalization, also known as the clap emoji. This STD doesn't just affect young people. Oh no, the fastest growing sector of this disease is among our senior population. And no, I'm not talking about the greatest generation. They learned their lesson back in the war. No, I'm talking about the baby boomers, the free love generation. Hey man, want to groove on some of these pictures of cartoon characters with ill-informed political arguments written on them? They're far out. You got to watch out for that guy. He's out there. Just say no, like Nancy Reagan said. A recent study by researchers from NYU and Princeton show that social media users over the age of 65 are twice as likely to share information from fake sources as those aged 45 to 65, and they're seven times more likely to share fake news than 18 to 29-year-olds. But that's not to excuse young people. A Stanford study from 2016 showed that 88% of students got their news first from social media. That seems about as wise as everybody selecting their pickle jars from the bottom of the pyramid display at the grocery store. Clean up on aisle earth. See, long ago, printing something for others to read took effort, time, expense. Imagine having to cross-stitch every Facebook status update. You'd probably put a little more thought into it, wouldn't you? But here it is, it's the future. Up is down, left is south, purple is aardvark. Not only can people produce a fake newspaper that looks real, they can digitally generate a photograph of you applying a name-brand hemorrhoid cream on the front page of that fake paper. It takes minutes with the right software. So what do? We cross-stitch ornate swear words in our spare time to relax. It's a doozy of a situation, folks, but there's hope of remission. My son, for instance, wants no part of social media, mostly because he sees how it's turned his mom and dad into a pair of corn-fed zombies. I'm afraid to say that abstinence is the only 100% effective prevention technique. Scientists are working on a cure for socially transmitted digitalization. I have confidence this will end this social media disease in our lifetime. We can hope, but perhaps it goes without saying, it would really help if you shared this show online and like it and comment and tell your friends, your real ones and your fake ones, and the bots and the strangers and the bots. Don't forget the bots. And really, I'd really just like it if somebody noticed me over here. Just notice me. Please notice me. That's what it's all about. Please notice me. I'm Aaron Brown. You're listening to the Great Northern Radio Show. Welcome back.